In the building with Johnny J from ETW. How you doing, brother?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
Good to be here in the out of Chi-Town for a few days.
I am out of touch. It actually feels good.
It feels good.
I only got one coat on, man.
Exactly what you say. What's the weather like in Chi-Town right now?
Two coats.
Okay. Yeah.
I was starting.
I lived in Chicago for a few years.
Really?
Yeah. From 2011, 2014.
Really?
I was working out at Allstate for a few years.
Okay.
Yeah. Out in Northbrook.
I was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
let me ask you this, man. How was it being here for the mic drop event? How was this for you?
You know what? It feels like I'm going to like a class reunion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cause a lot of these guys I've worked with years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago. Cause we started off, man, we technically started the group in the late 80s.
Yeah.
But we actually got signed with Forefront in 1990.
Okay.
And that's when we started really hooking up with people at events like the Gospel Music Association, Double Woods, things like that. You're running the Mike Peace,
yes.
G.I.D., D-Boy, a lot of these guys that, you know, we all kind of just starting off around the same time.
Yeah.
You know, so when I see them now, you know, I go, man, I don't look as old as I thought.
You mean on a comparative basis? Don't we all do that? Yeah. We all do that. It's like crazy.
No, but really, it was really good to see.
Yeah, yeah. Is this the first time you've seen him in how many years?
We did an event in Dallas.
Right, I was there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, dude, it's been a while, man.
Yeah.
Because I haven't done anything as far as, like, musically or whatever.
So yeah.
Late 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I started doing some local church stuff when I got to Chicago.
Right.
I was a youth leader for a long and you know, whatever.
Yeah.
As far as, like, working with anybody, no.
Right. What does it feel like to see the labor of your work, man? When you think about all the trials, right? All the sacrifices, all the no's, all the rejection, all the, man, I would even say, you know, people telling you, man, this is devil music. What are you doing? You know, what does it feel like to see that come to this kind of point being put forth in a film, in a historic document?
Right.
What does that feel like?
It's actually kind of humbling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think our main motivation getting involved with it was really to minister to kids.
Yeah.
You know, and these are just the accolades that come with being obedient to really what God initially put us on the road to do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because I had to be obedient to even just leave Detroit to go to Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went to school there.
Oh, is that right?
I was young with Oral Rob.
Okay.
We started the group at Oral Rob.
Gotcha.
So that's what I mean. This Tulsa is very nostalgic for me.
Yeah.
Because this is literally where we started. You know what I mean? We got some students together, me and Elroy and a couple of people. We made the group,
yeah,
and we started off doing some. Matter of fact, Mookie, Mike Taylor,
mm-hmm.
executive group, he was actually in our group.
Is that right?
And we used to call ourselves the JC.
What were you going to Oral Roberts for?
I was going for theology.
Gotcha.
Studies,
mm-hmm.
And Elroy was going there for graphic arts. Mike Taylor, again, who was executive producer of this film,
mm-hmm.
was this little high school kid running around, you know, because we knew her sister,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she, you know, she was at school with us. He was just hanging around. He was real talented. We said, man, why don't you come over here? So we had him in our group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you some old school stories.
Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, you know, I felt like, you know, I really needed to be in Tulsa in order for this thing to even get started.
Nice.
If I never left Detroit, I would have never got this started.
Gotcha.
You know, and you don't really know the decision of how it is going to impact until it really starts to, you know, whatever. So then I got this thing going. Yeah. I mean, I never knew that it was going to be like this big of a thing. You know?
Yeah.
We were just some kids trying to get some stuff together, go out in the community. But when we actually got the record contract in 1990, it changed everything. Now people know you in Denmark. Now mm-hmm. we're getting invited to go to Denmark. People know you in Japan. We're getting invited to go to Japan. So we had an opportunity to go all over the world. Again, Mike Taylor was with us, you know, and it was initially like four of us. And we would do stuff around the city. We actually won a citywide songwriting contest.
Mm.
It was like a big deal, you know what I'm saying? So eventually Mike ended up, you know, doing his own thing, started working with Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
And the three of us decided to go on and do our thing.
Gotcha.
We got this record contract. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of nostalgia.
Yes, yes.
Coming to Tulsa.
Yeah.
You know, and making this thing happen.
Now that your guys are back together, like you do the tech rehearsal last night and you've seen all these things come back together, does it ignite, man, some resurgence potentially of, you know, at one time, I understand a lot of you guys were out on the road together, PID, ETW, Gospel Gangsters, and some of you guys. Could you see something like that resurgence?
I could see, you know what though? Honestly, I have kind of like took the brakes off this whole project.
You did?
Yeah. And in turn, I took the brakes off because I don't know what God has in store for it.
Got it. You
know what I'm saying? Because there's a history that's being told that some people didn't know. Some people didn't know the depth of it.
Okay.
Like I said, it is a story within itself.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And some of the people that are out now are seeing the fruits of it. But if you never know the root of it, you don't really know how it even got there.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's refreshing to me that I don't know. I'm like, you know what, God, never know.
Right.
Never know
right.
what's going to happen. Because, I mean, truth be told, I'm on a medical leave right now.
Yes.
And I got nothing but time. You know what I'm saying?
So you can tour.
Not so much. I don't know about touring. But I mean, but in terms of being available,
right.
it's like this, come in or whatever. I'm available, whatever.
Gotcha.
You know, so I'm just kind of got the brakes off. So I got whatever you want to get happen. Let's do it. You know?
Right.
I got the
so you make no assumptions, but you're open.
No, I'm open.
That's beautiful. When you look at the newer generation
right.
of the Christian hip hop groups,
right.
if you could use some of that time, your gifts, your talents, even your treasure, if you could, to mentor.
Right.
But you only could pick one. Who would you invest in?
In terms of?
Of upcoming artists. Yes.
I don't know.
Okay. No one that kind of piques your interest yet?
I shouldn't say piques my interest, but I mean, in terms of me knowing what.
Okay. Got it.
Did he actually
got it.
Say anything?
Yeah.
But in general,
mm-hmm.
I could literally say you have to stay humble. And I'm not saying that just to say that.
Yes.
Because I do realize in humility is your strength.
Yes.
Because if you make the thing more about you as mm-hmm. opposed to why you're doing this, you get off track.
Yeah.
You make bad decisions. You know, you bring people around you that don't need to be around you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And these are the things I've truly learned.
Yeah.
Because when we first started, you know, a pastor sat us down and said, you know what, you guys, you keep it humble. You know, because in humility, God will put you in front of king.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they would want to hear what you have to say, as opposed to you blasting your own horn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I realized that's very true. Because we had a chance to go to a lot of different places, man, people don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were, you know, all over Europe.
Yeah.
Prisons, all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Talking to people that don't have any hope at all. Murderous Row, man, in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you didn't want. I'm talking to a guy that murdered his whole family. You know what I mean? It's like, what was it? You know, unless I was humble enough to say,
yeah.
hey, man, you know, bring it Christ. If I was arrogant, everywhere I thought I was, man, you shouldn't have been there. It's your fault, you know?
Right.
That's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, he has a life, and God has a chance to touch him before he leaves this earth.
Right.
Still going to paradise if he has a chance to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
In humility, not in arrogance, or not in I'm better than you. Y'all just here because y'all probably deserved it. That kind of thing. You know what I mean? And those are the opportunities why we went into.
Yes.
I mean, and I also realized that everybody's on a different road.
Yeah.
Everybody's on a different road.
You know, in there, was Oral Roberts prior to the group coming together? You going to school?
It was, Oral Roberts was because of the group.
Because of the group coming together. Okay.
Yeah, because we were students.
Okay.
Originally. And we just decided to do this talent show. And we put the group together. It was actually about 4 or 5 of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We put this thing together and we did this talent show and we actually lost. You know, this is like an 86, something like 85, okay. 86. And then it was funny because we were inspired by Stephen Wiley.
I right.
Mean, because nobody, Bible break.
Right.
I said, hey man, we could do that, man. We could put a little thing together, whatever, this and that, you know, because some of the people from New York, I'm from Detroit, some people from, because I was from New York, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we said, hey, we could put that together. So anyway, and it just took off from that. The school picked up on it, and they would have us perform in chapel,
right.
which is a big thing. That's the whole school. They would give us equipment, and we would go out into the project areas of Tulsa and just set up and start playing.
Right.
It was about, at that time, it was like 10 of us in this group.
Yeah.
You know, but then we narrowed down, and people graduated, get married, whatever, this and that. It ended up just being the 3 of us.
Yeah.
You know, and we just took it where it needed to go as far as that.
That's good. You know, one of the things that's so interesting about some of the stories that you guys have is this, the commonality sometimes of, and it seems more so with the legends and pioneers than some of the current, I think that's fair to say, of the focus on the ministry aspect, carrying that through to theological schools.
Right.
Part one, which keeps that drumbeat of focus on the ministry aspect, right? Secondarily, the submission to accountability, right? That comes through in those stories.
Right.
And then thirdly, I think that also speaks to the longevity that happens for a lot of the ministries as well.
You have to be grounded in a sense, because there's going to be a lot of things coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be able to say, look, let me go talk to a pastor or somebody.
Absolutely.
Get some legit counseling, some legit, guidance.
Absolutely.
And that was key. Plus, also covering. People don't understand. You need people praying for you.
Yes.
Because you're going into lion's den. You're going into situations where you can get shot. You know what I mean? In our case. And we said, I know people back here praying for us.
Right.
You know, I know I got the Muslim church, you know, whatever. We know that.
Right.
So those are the things that gives me the boldness to go into some of these places.
Yes.
Without any fear.
Yeah.
Without any hesitation. And so I could walk up to him. I mean, man, we've been in situations, man, I thought it was Louisiana someplace, man. Mm-hmm. And this pastor had this little kind of a setup kind of a thing. And we out there, you know, just doing our thing, a street kind of thing, man. And this guy comes running over here, man. And he said, I guess here. And he said, man, that's like the straight up dope dealer of the neighborhood, man. He came out, man, got saved, dragged his whole crew up here, and they got saved that night. You know, because you don't know where you're dealing with, you know.
That's right.
I've been in situations, man, where, I can tell you this story. We were in this place called Mountain Home, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And we were running a little late. This is from Tulsa driving to Mountain Home, right? No offense against Mountain Home, but I'm going to think. We thought of this place, right? And the pastor was like, we were running up this a little late. He said, oh, man, we're so glad you bought it, baby, man. Man, we're glad y'all made it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and this is a predominantly white town. Man, they didn't even have a black dog in this town. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was like Dukes of Hazzard. You know, so predominantly white town. But anyway, we go there, man, everybody's clapping and stuff. We got the, oh, come on, clap. You know, that's not, you know, I don't know, you know. And then they had these guys on the perimeter of the building. Yeah, like these army insignia and stuff. Army of the Lord. I didn't know what was going on, whatever. So we go into the back office of the pastor, you know, like I said, all white chick. He said, hey, we're glad you boys made it. Okay, thanks. Yeah, you know, because KKK called and they said they didn't want you guys to go on. I said, the KKK. They headquartered right down the road over here. So we had to have a little extra security.
Oh, are you kidding me, man?
He said we had some of the guys around the perimeter.
There was security?
Security.
Did y'all still perform or y'all roll out?
No. I was sitting there going, but that's all I need, man. You know, the KKK, you know, remember Jet Magazine? I probably got me up with Jet Magazine or something. You know? I mean, anyway, man, I thought it was interesting. I said, okay, all right. He said, we're going to go on anyway. We're going to go on anyway. I said, yeah, man, we're going to go on. I'm not worried about that, man, you know. You know, so we went on, did our thing, man, and, you know, nothing happened.
Right,
so, you
know, right.
Although I was a little nervous that night because we had to go to this motel,
mm-hmm.
right? And we were on the second floor, and we were on this balcony, and I'm saying, oh, goodbye. I said, let me get in this room, man. That's what, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody left.
Man, listen.
That's what I, let me get in this room. You know, but I'm just saying. But that kind of stuff happens.
Yes, man.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I had no fear.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the same time.
And that's what I mean about the things you guys went through during those times were pretty unique. No ETW in my mind, man. You know, and you attribute a lot to Stephen Wiley and Mike Peace. And,
right.
But you were right behind them. So, you know, I see you guys as a collective. No ETW, no cross movement, no holy culture, quite frankly, in my opinion. So, you know, when I think about holy culture and what we're doing, and like I said to you guys last night, no holy culture, now holy culture radio and what we're doing. And this new thing, man.
There you go.
To see your work come through like that, how does that feel, man?
It's humbling, but at the same time, I'm glad it's been acknowledged.
Yeah.
Because there were not avenues that they have now to push the platform or push the music. You know what I mean? Because we were still dealing with an industry that was somewhat divided.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if it wasn't like Run DMC or whatever, then it had to be some kind of a gangster thing. Mm-hmm. Had to be something else. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that dead genre wasn't going to, hard to break through that. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Christian music, if it wasn't Amy Grant or something like that, or it was hard to break through that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there was like, where do you go with this group?
Mm-hmm.
So we almost had to make our own lane in a lot of situations.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And fortunately, like the song we do tonight, Let's Stay Together, that did get some airplay on BET. We got some, you know, some of the outlets at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good. Because that also changed our music as far as how we were writing.
Gotcha.
You know, we started doing songs like Ain't Nobody Dying But Us,
mm-hmm.
talking about black and black violence.
Mm-hmm.
We're working with a group called Mothers Against Violence. We actually did marches in Indianapolis, whatever, we're talking about violence and stuff, participating in the march, you know, going on different things. Because, you know, it was becoming more of a real type situation of what we were doing. Our audience was changing in terms of the Black church is starting to embrace us a little bit more. It's putting in situations where, not that we didn't before,
right,
first started out. The Black church is a little reluctant about certain things, you know, but we'll do our little, give you a little stuff in the basement, you know, do stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, we just made our own road. Because like I said, we didn't care. We did high school assemblies. You know, we had to change our music to adjust to that.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Wiley was the youth pastor at Prince Charles Christian Center back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited us down to L.A. to do this concert.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Man, we did this concert on a Wednesday night thing, you know. And Thursday, the L.A. riots started.
Mm.
Literally, the next day. So we're at his church Wednesday night doing this thing, you know, Fred Price's church. I don't know if that. Next day, riots broke out.
Mm.
Next day, you know. And I'm sitting there going, man, we were like literally right in the smack of some serious history.
Right.
Because my brother was living out there and I was staying with my brother. And my brother goes, man, because we had like a trailer and a vehicle, whatever. He said, man, put that trailer in the garage. I don't want these people thinking that I swiped up some stuff out of LA and brought it to the garage, you know, because we had a trailer full of stuff.
Right.
Product, all this kind of it's like, man, put that in the garage. Because he lived out of Cerrito.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, man, put that in the garage, man. Because it was getting hot, man. It was getting hot. As far as like, you know.
Stuff
that's going on. We could see stuff burning.
Yeah.
From his house. You know, I was like, whoa, this is getting serious. You know, man, again.
Right.
Right smack in the middle of history, you know.
A lot of history. Hey, man, I just want to say thank you for all the work you guys have put in, but for the rest of us.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? And looking forward to the night. Looking forward to the ministry tonight. And I'm going to say thank you on behalf of the current generation of Christian hip hop heads as well. You know, this is a passing of a time moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so hopefully they feel that way. Hopefully you feel that way.
I think that's the thing I think that I was feeling yesterday. I feel like this is a start point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like a reset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A reset means not that anything was going crazy, but you need to reset to realize where you started from.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think once this history is out, you can reset the movement so even future people will say, hey, man, there was some legit sacrifice. There was some legit
absolutely
in ministry to go out and do this, not just for money.
That's right.
Not just for fame.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? But to actually have the message. And the message is the thing that's motivated to do it, not just the accolades that go behind the message.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what we really want to establish.
Amen. Because
like you said, we wouldn't be here if it was just about the fame or just about this.
That's right.
Because people, you know, it can be one and done you out there. There's a lot of groups that started, there's only a few that's even standing
right. That's right. That's
right. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Johnny J, ETW, y'all. Right here, Holy Culture. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.